Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this morning is from Numbers chapter 11, verses 23 through 29, and it's found on page 129. Listen for God's word to us. The Lord said to Moses, "Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." This is the end of the Old Testament reading. We give thanks for the hearing of God's holy word.
Today we end our sermon series entitled Welcoming the Holy Spirit. We began the series right after Easter, and we acknowledged at the beginning that there are probably many things about the Holy Spirit that we don't know or understand. Over these last 10 weeks, we have learned some wonderful things about the Holy Spirit. For example, that the Spirit of God is everywhere, all around us, always supporting people, always seeking to draw us closer to the love of God. We learned or were reminded that it is Jesus himself who gives the Holy Spirit as a gift to his followers, and that the Holy Spirit is so tightly associated with Jesus that the New Testament sometimes refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Jesus or the Spirit of Christ. So that if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we have the very Spirit of Jesus within us. We also saw that this Holy Spirit in us is a huge resource, not just for us and our lives, but for the whole world. We saw how the Spirit is to be like rivers of living water flowing through us to a thirsty world. This one called the Spirit of Truth also testified to us that we are beloved children of God in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and that will be good news. That will be the hope. In fact, that's the guarantee to the world that finally things will turn out right. We saw that the Holy Spirit sometimes pushes us to expand our circles of love, to make our circles wider, to include more and more people that we might not include, but God wants included within God's love. We saw that when times are hard in our lives, when the hard things happen, when sometimes we feel beaten down, like we just don't want to go on anymore, the Holy Spirit can revive us, give us life, again and again and again. And then 2 weeks ago, we saw that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of profound joy, a joy so profound that it can stand even in the face of the reality of death, the death of people that we love, or our own imminent death, and can give us hope and joy because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and that promises to raise us up, our loved ones up as well. So we have talked together about some wondrous things about this Holy Spirit, this Spirit of Jesus. Today, I want to end our sermon series by asking, do we really welcome the Holy Spirit? Are we embracing and loving and welcoming the Holy Spirit? Or is there something in us, something in the human spirit that resists the Holy Spirit? For 11 weeks, we've been talking about welcoming the Holy Spirit. Are we welcoming the Spirit? Our scripture from Numbers chapter 11 gives us the hint that there may very well be something in the human spirit, even in faith communities, that resists the Holy Spirit. This is a time in Israel's life when they are unhappy, when there is contention. God has brought the people of Israel, out of the house of slavery, has set them free. But once they were in the wilderness, they began to complain. First, they complained, there's no food here. You brought us out here to starve to death. And so God gave them the manna, the bread from heaven, so they wouldn't starve. And then before very long, they were saying, we don't like this bread. We want meat. We'll go back to Egypt if we don't get meat. And Moses couldn't take it. Moses said to God, I didn't give birth to all these people. Why am I the one who has to take care of them? And God said, you can't do it alone. You need help. So God said, call together 70 elders, and I will take some of my spirit that I have put on you, Moses, and I will give it to the 70 elders, so they will have the spirit too, and they can help you, and you don't need to lead alone. And when Jenny began reading the scripture from Numbers, that's what's going on. Moses calls the 70 elders, they surround the tent of meeting. God comes down and takes some of the Spirit of God that was on Moses and gives it to each of the 70 elders. And the scripture writer says, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. And then something very curious. But they did not do so again. They prophesied when the Spirit rested on them, but only one time. They did not do so again. Was there something in those elders that did not welcome the Spirit, that resisted the Spirit? Was there something in that faith community that resisted the presence of the Holy Spirit? These 70 who are supposed to become now leaders with Moses quickly fade out of the picture, become no help at all. And we'll see in a few moments, that turns into a tragedy. Meanwhile, the story goes on. There are these two elders, Eldad and Medad, who didn't come out to the tent for some reason. The writer says they were among those who are registered. I don't have a clue what that means. They were among those who are registered, other than maybe it seems as though the attitude as well. If you're registered as an elder, maybe you can have the Holy Spirit, but the unregistered people, no way. So these two men who are among the registered but did not go out to the tent, and the Spirit rests on them also, and they prophesy. And then someone runs from the camp where they are to the tent of meeting and says to Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, as though this was something dangerous or as though this was something not to be done or not to be approved. And Joshua, who is the assistant to Moses, hears this and says, my Lord Moses, stop them. And that is the most blatant statement of resistance to people receiving the Holy Spirit in this scripture. So I called it the Joshua syndrome for the sermon. The Joshua syndrome is, my Lord Moses, stop them. Don't let the Spirit be upon those people. Don't let them prophesy. So is there something in them, in us, that resists rather than welcomes the Holy Spirit? As this story goes on, and they go on complaining and other conflicts happen, very soon they come to the edge of the promised land. And God says to them, go up into the land, it belongs to you. And they don't trust God. And they won't go. You wonder if those 72 who had the Spirit on them for that one time, if they had been there with the Spirit, and if they had said with Moses, no, it's okay, go on up, the land is ours, would the story have come out differently? But they've disappeared. And the people refuse to go into the land, and the result is that for 40 years they wander in the wilderness until a generation that doesn't trust God, that doesn't believe God, dies. And then the new generation goes into the land. It's a tragedy. And the one dissenting voice, the only voice that doesn't agree with Joshua, is Moses. Moses says to Joshua, are you jealous for my sake? In other words, do you want only me to have the Holy Spirit? And then he says, I would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put the Spirit of God on all of the people of God. The English poet William Blake in the early 18th century caught the power of this in his poem to Milton. And he quotes this line, what Moses says in Numbers 11. And the way William Blake says that he said it is, I would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets and were given the Spirit of God by God. Now in the New Testament, in the reading that Allison read to you this morning, and it's the story of Pentecost again, right in the middle, I don't know if you recognized it. You remember that when the day of Pentecost comes, God pours out the Holy Spirit, or we could say more accurately, having studied for our 10 weeks, that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus, as a gift to his followers. And remember, all 120 or so of them began to speak in various languages, telling the good news of God's amazing work and amazing love in Jesus Christ. But do you remember what some people said? They're drunk. You know, you can resist and not welcome the Holy Spirit by ridicule or mocking or just a wave of the hand. They're drunk. This profound gift of all these wonderful things that come with the Holy Spirit. And they're drunk. So Peter stands up and explains, these people are not drunk. This is the fulfillment of what God spoke through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young people shall see visions. Your old people will dream dreams. Even on the slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit. God seems to agree with Moses, not Joshua. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So, what do we gain? What does the world gain if we welcome the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, in us and in our world? And what do we lose if we suffer the Joshua syndrome, if we resist the Spirit? What do we lose? What does the world lose if we resist the Holy Spirit? Well, the scripture says your young people will see visions. What kind of visions do young people have? To be honest, they can be very selfish, very self-serving visions. Their visions could be, we want to make a lot of money, we want to have a lot of things, we want to establish a prominent and secure position for ourselves. Can be self-serving. So maybe the better question is, what are the visions young people have when they have welcomed the Spirit of Jesus into their hearts, into their spirits? And we've all seen it. Their visions can be very selfless. Very much visions for how do we give ourselves to make a better world? How do we spend our lives in such a way that the world will be a better place because of us, a more compassionate place, a more gentle place, a place of more justice and righteousness than before we were living in the world. They can envision themselves as followers of Jesus, as servants of Jesus, spending themselves for the good of the world. And while they might not say it this way, they are visions of the kingdom of God come more to the earth. And what dreams do old people dream when they have welcomed the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, in their lives? In that stage in life when you've let go of all those productive tasks that came with your vocation, that the world says that's what makes you important people. When they've let go of that, when the children are raised, when the grandchildren are even raised, when you've begun to feel in your own body the lessening of the energy, you can't do what you used to do as well anymore. Or just thinking of my mother for a moment. She's 86. She's lost almost all of her eyesight. She's hard of hearing. She has emphysema. Her world has become very small. She's seen most of her generation move on from this world. They're not in this world anymore. She knows that her own leaving this world is a lot closer than it was a while ago. What do our old people dream when they have welcomed the Spirit of Jesus? I think they dream of a better world yet to be, a world beyond this one, where your youth is renewed like the eagles, where the losses are restored, where all the goodness that you hoped to see and to help bring into the world will be in that world. They don't envision themselves any longer as followers of Jesus seeking to be his servants in this world. Rather, they think of the time when they will see Jesus face to face and live with him as his friend. We need these visions. We need these dreams. The dreams of our young people that say this world can be a better world. The dreams of our old people who say the world beyond this one is a reality. And therefore, I know that my labor here is not in vain. Because God will back us. God will preserve what we have done. What if God were to pour out the Spirit on slaves, on oppressed people, on the lowest people in position in the societies of the world? What would their visions be? What would their dreams be? They would be dreams and visions of freedom, of justice and righteousness, of a future and a hope. We need these dreams and visions. These dreams and visions that inspire us are the energy to make our world a better place. If we don't have these dreams and visions, if we do not welcome the Holy Spirit, then at best, the world drifts. At worst, it spirals down. I've come to think that the worst thing we can do, the most dangerous thing, the most harmful thing for our world is to resist the work of the Holy Spirit in us and in the world, to resist the work of the Spirit of Jesus, to not welcome it personally or in our world. And perhaps the best thing we can do, the most helpful, the most healthy, is to welcome and embrace and rejoice at the gift of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus, in our lives, in our congregation, at work in our world. So I want to end our sermon series today with a question. Do you, do I, does our congregation resist the Holy Spirit? Or do we welcome the Spirit with joy? Let us pray. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for this amazing gift of your own Spirit given to the people. And we pray that whatever resistance is in us, however we are tempted, like Joshua, to say, don't let that happen. Take that resistance away. Give us generations, young and old, who rejoice to welcome your own Spirit in our lives and in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.